Welcome to CEO Flow, the podcast that empowers passionate business owners like you to unlock the true potential of your success while embracing a healthier and more sustainable approach. I'm Natalie, and after running my coaching business for almost 3 years now, I've discovered that the key to achieving your best performance lies in ditching the constant push and force, honoring your body's cyclic needs, and finding your authentic flow. So join me as we dive into practical health and business strategies, insightful interviews, and transformative stories. Together we will transition from force into true flow, unlocking new levels of productivity, fulfillment, and well-being. Hello, Crystal, and welcome to the CEO Flow podcast. I'm super happy that you're here with me today and that you want to share a little bit more about your work and like your wisdom that you're spreading as well. So maybe you just want to take a second to like introduce yourself. Who are you? What is it that you're doing?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate the opportunity. My name is Crystal Carnahan, and I am the owner of Zenfully Aware, and I'm an international coach and retreat facilitator. And my mission is to work with women, business owners, and founders to help them align their body with their business so that they can grow together and not at the expense of one another.
Thank you for the short introduction sentence. And I love it because, I feel like we're really sharing kind of the same vision here, which is always nice to like connect with people who are also seeing, or like I always say, like taking care of the people behind the business. Because we don't want to forget that, even if we're like super passionate with the stuff that we're doing as business owners, right? So before we dive a little bit deeper and you can share a little bit more about all your work, because I'm also super interested in hearing more, I always like to ask a little introduction question, just as a little icebreaker to like start the podcast episodes or interviews. Yeah, life like always likes to kind of give us little reminders during our day, especially when we're kind of drifting off our path maybe a little bit, or getting out of our bodies a little bit too much. So is there anything that life reminded you of today, like a little reminder or maybe like a big reminder that you got lately from life and that you want to share with us?
Oh my, I don't know if you have enough time in this podcast. Life really shows us, and if we are watching what is being reflected back to us, we kind of can follow the clues or the breadcrumbs to the things that it's trying to tell us, the messages that it's trying to send. If we go a little bit deeper than the surface level of the things that are actually happening. So one thing in particular, life was showing me, I have had contracts with hotels and resorts, and I provide wellness experiences, you know, yoga and fitness classes and Aquafit and things of that nature. And I have been doing that for probably around 4 years before COVID. And that was the business model that I was moving towards. And you learn quite a bit about how to really speak to the corporate entities and kind of what they want, what level they want to add, and things of that nature. And over the years, the vision for that particular aspect of my business was very different for me and the resorts. And so there were things that were being shown to me, and I had to make a decision to release one of my contracts that I've had for, you know, a significant amount of time. That was like my baby. It was like my first foray into this particular realm, and releasing it was emotionally challenging because I had put a lot of work into it. And I knew that whatever that I was releasing, it was creating space for what I'm actually moving towards. Writing the email, I kind of have been putting it off. And I had two yoga instructors who worked for me and actually did the classes while I expanded in different areas. And both of them in this week were like, yeah, we're moving on and da 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 da. And so it was like the final, okay, the universe is like, you've been dragging your feet. Now I'm going to really give you an opportunity to make a decision. And I mean, I could have kept it and done the things myself, but it was time to really let go. So yeah, that was one big one this week that I had to release.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And in a second, you can also share a little bit more about what you're kind of like moving towards to now, that you, yeah, let go of that. And I love that you're sharing that, because I think I saw a post from you this morning on LinkedIn about it. So I was already kind of thinking, oh, there's something shifting and happening. And it's so funny how life sometimes, you know, gives us these challenges, or we have these inner feelings of like, oh, maybe something is wrong here. Like something doesn't seem right anymore, even though we feel like everything is functioning properly, you know, and it has worked for such a long time already. And I think a lot of business owners can relate with these things, not with this particular situation, but just with like setting things up in business and then realizing at some point, although it works super well, like something doesn't feel right here anymore. And then like allowing yourself this step of just letting it go. And it can be emotional sometimes, you know, because our business, like it's our baby. There are like in general, so many emotions involved all the time. And it's also something that we often don't see, you know, behind the what's like going on behind the scenes. Yeah, but I love how you just describe like this letting go process, how it just opens up space for new things and new magic. And sometimes there's something waiting for you and you don't even like, you don't know yet what it's gonna be, but you can kind of feel already that it's gonna be like really, really good.
So it's
something that you're also experiencing right now. So maybe you want to share a little bit more about like in general your story, like how you found your way to founding Zenfully Aware, but then also what you're kind of moving towards to right now, because of course we want to hear a little bit more about your office in the end as well. So yeah, feel free to share.
Thank you. Again, I will try to keep it short. There can be many rabbit holes, but basically I worked in the restaurant industry. I was everything from server, bartender, dishwasher, hostess, basically did everything within the restaurant industry. And we worked for smaller entities, not any corporate entities in the town, resort town that we worked at. And through that, it's a lifestyle type of industry. You work very hard and then you get off of work and you play harder. And that can be very disconnecting for things that are happening in your life. So my mom ended up passing away very early in my life. I was 25. And it's been about 20 years. And I didn't really process, actually, I didn't process the grief and the loss that came along with that. And what was available for me was this beautiful numbing agent, alcohol. And, you know, in the industry, it's a given. I mean, it's just a lifestyle, but it numbs everything. It numbs your emotions. It numbs your growth. It numbs your expansion. And it's a toxic thing that you put in your body. And I was putting it in quite a bit every day for probably over 2 decades. So there were legal issues. There were, you can imagine the whole things that happen with alcohol. I was just taking a nosedive in my life. And there was an incident that I really had to, again, you know, the universe gave me several signs and several things to reflect on that I just kind of threw by the wayside and continued on this path until the universe was like, okay, you have to listen. This is getting to the point of destruction now. So I stopped drinking. I got my master's in health and wellness coaching. I got my yoga certification and I moved to a whole different state and started a business. And what I thought I wanted to do, that was in 2017. And what I thought that iteration was has evolved from teaching yoga to athletes, to working with collegiate teams and high school teams, to working with resorts and hotels, to now really providing a specific framework with coaching and retreats that I offer transformational travel and regenerative travel, so that not only are we transforming ourselves, but we're really trying to work with the earth because we're kind of in a situation where the earth is really sending us messages as well that she needs a little bit more support in order to allow her to thrive as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a big and important point that you're mentioning here. So I just want to emphasize that, like, how important it is, and that it, like, starts with us reconnecting with ourselves and then also reconnecting with nature, which is such a beautiful thing to do. And I think, thank you also so much for sharing your story and also for showing yourself vulnerable here, because I think that's, it can help so many people out there to really learn to reconnect with themselves and then also with their emotions, because it's something that you just mentioned. You know, you were like so disconnected from yourself and from your body, where there was something that was really difficult for you to process. So you didn't want to feel these feelings. So we start numbing ourselves. So this can be like alcohol, this can be Netflix, this can be social media. You know, there are like so many different ways that you can use as coping strategies, or you can like start facing your emotions and like really processing these things. And I think it's something that in our society nowadays, we never really learn to like handle our emotions. So it's also a topic I would love to dive a little bit deeper into with you, because I know that it's a big part of your work. But maybe you want to share first, like what are the topics that you're covering in your coaching, so in your work and then also in your retreats? And also, why did you choose to work with business owners especially?
Thank you. Great questions. So I use what I call the Arise method, and it has some basis in transtheoretical theory and, you know, behavior change and, you know, some technical aspects, and also in yogic philosophy. And really the A is aligning and energizing, and we move from root to crown. We cover all the chakras and what they represent, not only in the yogic sense, but what they represent, we'll say, in the real world. The R is reclaiming and reconnecting with ourselves. So after we align and energize our chakras, we come back to our literal bodies and start to really feel and reclaim those emotions, really reconnect with the physical aspect of our body. The I is illuminate and innovate. So this is where the business aspect comes in. Once we start to reconnect and once we are aligned, we can illuminate the things that we perhaps haven't seen or haven't been able to see. And then we can innovate, thinking outside the box, really moving forward, not only with ourselves and our belief, but with our businesses. You know, how can I move towards these goals thinking with a different perspective? How do I get to the point where I'm not, you know, speaking to the masses, but where I'm really speaking to a certain audience? The S is writing a different story, because the narrative that we've been conditioned with or telling ourselves, we really have to change. And so that story from learning all the things about ourselves, and then reconnecting and then illuminating and innovating, we get to see and perhaps write an entire book. And who knows, you know, and not that it could be published. I mean, who knows, but it's a different story that we need to tell ourselves. And then the E is embodying all of that to become not a different person, but a more elevated version of ourselves, where we can look back and see just how far we've come and expanded and really like opened ourselves up to receive all of these benefits that we've created throughout this entire framework. I created that specifically for business owners because what I was hearing and what I was finding was that when business owners started out, we have these, and even for myself, you know, we have these great ideas, we have these romanticized notions of how things are going to work, and we get 4 million certifications and we have, you know, educational aspects and all of the formal things. And sometimes we don't really take a moment to look at the spiritual and the energetic aspects of where we want our business to go, or even what, how our business is connected to ourselves. And I think for a lot of people, the notion of you have to leave your personal at home and, you know, leave your business in the office, they're not really understanding that regardless, it's all interconnected. So you're going to carry your personal, even if you leave it at the door, you're going to carry your personal into the office, and you're going to carry the office into your home. And so how can we start to embrace that and really leverage, oh my gosh, if I take care of myself, if I really take the time to grow who I am, then just imagine how that affects my work. And on the opposite side, if I don't do that, imagine how that affects my work. So throughout my journey, yes, I was lucky because I was basically a yoga instructor. And I don't mean that in, I don't mean basically, but I was first a yoga instructor. So I was able to get the movement. I was able to get the spiritual practice within what I was doing, but learning how business was affecting that particular practice was really foundational for me. And I have heard stories where women, you know, lost lung capacity. They had rashes on their bodies. Their gut to brain was absolutely horrendous. They were getting, you know, ulcerative colitis and just different physical manifestations because of the stress that the work was causing them, but they weren't really putting it together. It was, oh, I'm feeling, you know, or my neck is tight, or I have ulcerative colitis. Let me go to the doctor and see what it is. And the doctor's like, well, you have this thing, and so we'll medicate it or we'll do whatever, but not getting to the root cause of, well, I'm, you know, perhaps my creativity is stunted in this job or in my business, or I'm not, you know, allowing myself to be who I really am or who I want to be. And the body is like, well, it takes all of those emotions and it holds it and it constricts it and it keeps it nice and tight. And then it has to let it go somewhere. And so for the most part, we have seen and even scientifically been proven that a lot of dis-ease is caused by emotional dysregulation. And that can happen, especially with women and, you know, our conditioning and how we are told that we have to be a certain way in our life in general, but then in business as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Like, you just mentioned so many important points that you mentioned right now. But I would love to especially focus on the emotional well-being part, because I think it's super important. First of all, what you just mentioned, or what I think is very clear after what you just like mentioned, is that it's all connected. You know, this is also why I'm always talking about holistic approaches. And like you say, there is not like, we can't really separate ourselves from our business, from our like personal life. Especially in coaching, you know, I think everyone, like, also if you're thinking about hiring a coach, always look for someone who's following these holistic approaches. I think it's super important to also understand how all these areas are connected and how one area is like influencing the other one. And then also what you just mentioned about like the physical symptoms, or it doesn't even only have to be physical, you know, even also mental symptoms, like all the diseases we're experiencing nowadays. I just read it in the book that I'm currently reading. I think it was yesterday or the day before, that like 90 to 95% like scientifically proven that the cause of these diseases is stress. And stress can happen on so many different levels, and it can have like so many different underlying causes. I think like not feeling our emotions or not being connected to our emotions is a really big one. So if you would like to share a little bit more about what emotional well-being makes such an important part of your work, and why you think for us as business owners, like, how can it benefit us in our business on a daily?
Again, great questions. Emotional well-being for me is the foundation, because it really leads into all of the other realms. So if we are, you know, clients come to me, and most of my clients in some form or another want to lose weight, and they're not realizing the relationship that they have with the weight, the relationship they have with food, the relationship that they have with their body. And that weight, yes, is a physical aspect. And there are, with food and movement and things, there are ways to release that weight. But it's also really about, why does the body feel like it has to protect itself? Why does the body feel that it has to almost armor itself? And this has nothing to do with, fat phobia or anything like that. It's more of just simply asking why. Like, if you're comfortable at whatever weight you are, by all means, like, enjoy that, embrace it. More people should. It's when women come to me with the, oh, I have to lose weight, or, oh, I can't eat that, or, oh, you know, this is bad or wrong, or whatever or I have to run 5 miles because, or take this, you know, hot yoga class because I ate my Thanksgiving dinner. That's when it starts to become really destructive. And, you know, there is still, even as far as we have shifted, there is still the marketing and the fitness and the bikini body and the summer babe, whatever, hot babe summer, and Barbie. I mean, you know, and I haven't seen the movie, so I hear good things. But Barbie in general, you know, she has bust, waist, and hips, and there's, oh, you know, the normal, which I don't really think there is anything normal. And I don't know who made up normal for a woman's body, but the emotional aspect is the foundation, because that leads to not only the physical, it leads to the mental. If we are suppressing our emotions, the body is going to, we'll say, hold on to weight, or, you know, manifest some sort of dis-ease, which in our mindset, in our mental bandwidth, that if our body is hurting, if we're not comfortable, if we're not feeling good, then our mental bandwidth to create and grow and nurture this business that we're trying to do is going to be less. And we're taking away from that mental bandwidth. And when we take away from that mental bandwidth, we take away from our financial capability. And as women, you know, and this is going as women, but imagine, you know, as people of color and women of color, it's very detrimental, as we've seen, you know, the patriarchy and colonialism. And I mean, we won't get into all that, but over the
years, I would love to get into all of that.
I know, but like I said, I don't know how much time you have, but But we're really starting to see, you know, women were property until probably 50 years ago, or they weren't allowed to get, you know, mortgages. They weren't allowed to get bank accounts. They weren't allowed to be separate from a man to do and grow and expand. And 50 years isn't a long time. And again, that's just women. Add on people of color, and I mean, it's unimaginable. So I don't even know what the question was, but the emotional aspect, and then it becomes generational. So everything that, you know, my grandparents carried and then put on my mom, and then my mom carried, she passed away from diabetes, which is a disease that, you know, the doctors, and again, this was 20 years ago, but the doctors never gave her any alternatives. They said, you know, don't eat carbs and take your insulin. There was never asking her what was going on. She had just been through a divorce. Her three kids were in chaos. You know, her one kid is drinking her face off and in jail. And, you know, everybody's just like, yep, don't eat carbs. Just take your insulin. You're all good. And meanwhile, she's crushed under, and she was a nurse. So, you know, the healthcare industry in and of itself, even back then, it's just very stressful. So it's very important to me to show women that our emotions and how we are isn't necessarily who we are, but it's necessary and essential for us to really show the world. Like a star shines as a function of itself, of being a star. So how do we start to really embrace like all the stuff and function as ourselves, because we are who we are? Like, how do we do that? And that's what I want to help or support or show women. It doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah. And I think you just like, again, you mentioned so many important points, but I think it is super important to mention that so many things are happening on a subconscious level, or are like stored in our body somewhere or in our cells, and that it can be generational. It's also something that I'm currently like really experiencing, because I came back to Germany to spend time with my family, especially with my grandparents. They are like getting quite old and are like, getting quite sick right now. And I've been talking a lot to them lately and like really understanding what kind of life they had, you know. They never really had the chance to connect with their purpose or to like, you know, follow their soul mission or whatever privileges a lot of us have nowadays. And I was sitting here in my room the other day, because I had this experience all the time that I was limiting myself a lot in my business whenever I reached like certain limits. So for example, there was a certain amount of money in my bank account and I never kind of like overwent that, or a certain amount of clients that I had in my like clients that I was working with. And then I would just stop functioning. I would just start like sabotaging myself and like sabotaging my growth and my business growth. And I was sitting here the other day, and I was asking myself that question, like, how does responsibility feel for me? And then I was just listening to my body and like checking in with my body, and I had this like heaviness on my shoulders and on my back, and this like my chest getting tight, my throat getting tight, like really wasn't even able to breathe properly anymore. And then I realized, whoa, okay, if that is what responsibility feels like for my system, for my nervous system, then of course I'm always pushing it away. And I think it's also a nice example just to see how it can influence your business and like your success also in general, and also your health and like, you know, the physical symptoms that you're experiencing. For example, I have had like lots of pain in my shoulders and like on my back and like tension in the neck. And I think it's super common nowadays to feel these kind of things. And yeah, and then it's also something that you can't always rationally explain, because you feel like, or your mind thinks like, yeah, but I want to take that responsibility and I want it to feel easy and I want to run my business. But then when there's something stored in your system, doesn't really work that way, you know. Subconsciously, you will always like sabotage yourself, or it will always feel quite heavy. And I think what we really need to learn as business owners, also as non-business owners, is to like stop judging ourselves for feeling these kind of things, and just like start listening and using these emotions as a gateway to our intuition, how I always like to say, and I get goosebumps when I'm talking about it. Because our bodies, like, they carry so much wisdom. And even if it's anger, or if it's shame, or, you know, the things that feel quite uncomfortable for us, or that we as women are really conditioned not to allow ourselves, because we always need to be like quiet and nice. And, you know, we can be sad sometimes, but then if we get angry, that's like, no, as a woman, you're not allowed to be angry in public or to scream or whatever. But yeah, to like really, that's also a reason why it's sometimes really hard to really access our emotions. I also thought for a really long time, like, anger, I don't need it, like, it doesn't even serve me. But I was always suppressing it. And then when I started connecting more and more with my body and with my emotions, I felt what anger, like, that there was anger coming up, and there was shame coming up, and like all the things that I never really allowed to feel myself. And it brings so much healing, and it brings so much more ease into your daily business life. So yeah, I think it's such an important topic. And if you want to share a little bit like about your clients, like what is it that you usually start seeing, like what kind of changes do they experience once they start like connecting more with their emotions, or actively like working on connecting with the body's wisdom that we were just talking about?
So for most of my clients, I think the biggest thing that they start realizing is, one, it's like an aha moment. It's one of those where, oh, they finally kind of, they connect the dots. Like, oh, this is like, I'm not a procrastinator. I have been, you know, like betrayal comes up for me. Like you said, responsibility, betrayal comes up for me. And so I had to work through that. You know, some of my clients, as they start to really name what the overall or the overarching emotion is, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not that I procrastinate. It's that I'm avoiding this particular thing because if I'm successful, or I want attention and I'm not getting the attention that I want, so I'll take some negative attention by procrastinating on my business taxes, which, you know, I need to get done. But again, if I'm not like, and it's such a game. And as you're saying, all of these emotions are really data. It's like, oh, okay. Like if I, you know, charted them, which I'm not analytical or really mathematical, but if I was that way and I looked at procrastination and literally what I was feeling, like if I named that emotion and did it over, you know, a certain amount of time, it'd be like, ah, oh, okay, no wonder. So they start to really connect the dots, and then they start to make small changes. And even within a short amount of time, other people start responding to them differently. So their coworkers, their spouses, their significant others, people on the street, they're like, there's just that slight energetic and like almost glow that they start to notice people responding to them differently. And I have had clients stop because they were afraid of that. So clients want this, they want this thing, and they start changing, and then people start responding to them differently. And they're like, oh my gosh. And most of them, we move through that threshold. But I have had clients where they're like, no, I don't like it. I can't handle it. And I've explained it to them. I'm like, this is what's going to happen. And they're like, okay, all right. Like, and then they get to that point and they're not ready. So I think, again, it's that data. Okay. If I get to this point, people start responding to me differently because I'm growing into I think some people have a thing that, oh, I'm not a different person. And it's not that you are, but you're presenting yourself differently. You're presenting a different version of who people thought you were, how they responded to you. And when you do that, then they can no longer respond to your normal way of being. And that is like at the point where like that's the turnaround for a lot of people. They're like, oh, now I get why coaching and why emotional well-being is so important, because all this surface level stuff that I came to you with originally is really a lot deeper. It's really a lot more painful, places that people don't want to go. And as a coach, there is that fine line, because we're not therapists. We're not, you know, and I think there has to be a separation for people to understand, you know, we're not consultants, we're not therapists. And so emotions and emotional well-being, there is that fine line of, I can't take you into this realm. I'm, you know, coaching is very different. So sometimes, you know, those who aren't ready, you know, we have to refer them out, and we have to say, or if we get to a certain point where I see like, okay, you know, they need a little bit more professional help for things, you know, deeper traumas, mm-hmm. then we refer people to therapists. And, you know, there's a whole, therapists and coaches can work together, just like physicians and coaches. And there are the organizations who are really trying to get that to be understood. Like coaching isn't, it's not this like willy-nilly, you know, there are certifying bodies who we're trying to work on and with physicians and hospitals, because it has been proven that coaching along with medical advice actually can take a patient or a client further. And the same thing with therapy, because they're very different types of modalities.
Thank you for mentioning that. And I think it's super important, and also to understand that, you know, if you want to really let go of something like a programming, like a mechanism that has served you for such a long time, it can be very, very challenging, and it can be scary for your whole system. You know, it will probably like try to stop you. You will probably self-sabotage, and all these, you know, like stored emotions can come up. So I think that like, it is possible that big shifts can kind of happen overnight, you know, but you have to be ready, like, and you have to feel safe with really allowing it, and also not judge yourself if it's maybe a trauma that sits like super deep and it's just something that needs a little bit more work and focus. And yeah, don't expect yourself to see these results like overnight, and then also see who is really who can really guide you through that whole process. Like, am I right? Like, is it better for me to go with a coach or with the therapy, or maybe even both, like you're mentioning, you know, because there is a difference. And for yourself, like, are there any like tips or tools that you can share or that you really like to use when things get overwhelming for you, or when you have like overwhelming emotions coming up in your daily business life? Because I think it's also about like noticing these the small things that we have in our daily life, so that we don't have to get to the point that you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast episode where we like really crash down, or where something like super like big needs to happen before we find the point where we say like, oh, okay, now I really need to start listening, because otherwise I'm going to crash, you know.
For me, so I don't even know if it's in the coaching space, but there are the financial aspects of the business that some coaches are like, okay, you have to do your money generating activities before anything else. And for me, I say you do your health generating activities before anything else, because ultimately, if I feel good, then I'm going to want to do my money generating activities. And, you know, you have to kind of work out, and then, you know, all the other kind of activities follow along. So for me, movement is always the primary source. So whether it's a walk, whether, I take classes, obviously I'm a yoga instructor. So yoga is a very big part. And there, you know, there's different styles of yoga. So it doesn't have to always be, you know, super power, like crazy yoga. It doesn't always have to be a restful or restorative. It just is one of those, like, where is my energy and what does my body need? Like, does it need a more powerful practice or does it need a more restorative practice? Strength training is a huge thing. So do I want to, you know, do weights today, or do I just, do I need a walk to just kind of get all this frenetic energy out? So really movement is my go-to, my first go-to. Breathing is probably my second go-to, really focusing on breath work. And they're different. Again, there's yogic breath work, pranayama, and there's also like James Nestor and Patrick McEwen, who talk about like the oxygen advantage and the way that we breathe. So not necessarily breathing like holotropic and things of that nature, but how we are actually breathing, like nasal breathing versus mouth breathing, really connecting with not taking in too much oxygen, because that's messing up your CO2 and oxygen levels. So breath work in general, if people want to read a little bit more about that, and there's different forms. And then, yes, I say meditation. I do more of the resonance. So listening to different frequencies, depending on like theta, what is it? Alpha, beta, theta. I don't even know, but I have an app that, you know, has different frequencies, and just kind of what will put my body into a better resonance for me, like a better harmony. Because I don't really believe in balance, because I think even there's always something within our bodies or within our lives that is engaging more. So the balance, like, we never really have balance, even our cells, you know, they're always looking for homeostasis, but it's never really achieved, because there's always like, well, we're more alkaline, or we're more acidic, or, you know, we're more, have more water, or even standing on one foot, you're, depending on what it is, your obliques are engaging more than, you know, your leg. Anyway, so I always say harmony versus balance, but those are my three, definitely movement, definitely breath work, and a little meditation, or more frequency in meditation.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. Also tools that I really love, like I love meditation, I love yoga, and I also love breath work. Like, I've been working a lot with my breath during the past weeks to really, yeah, release some emotions that were kind of stuck, and I could feel that. And now breath for me is like one of the most powerful tools, and we always have it with us, you know, like you can always use it. And also thank you for mentioning the balance thing, because I always like, I talk a lot about balance, but for me, balance is also not that straight line. You know, we're always imagining like, okay, at some point I will have like the perfect balance and harmony. If you want to become the next Buddha in this life, you know, then maybe, but for most of us, that's probably not the case. So it's always that, like, you know, that playfulness of like going a little bit into one direction and then a little bit in the other direction again. And if we, or I always like to imagine it like a pendulum, and it's like swinging a little bit into one direction, and then it kind of, how do you say in English, like it balances out again all the time. But it's still like always swinging at least a little bit. Yeah, but then also what you mentioned in the beginning, you know, if it swings like super extreme into one direction, it will have to swing as extreme in the other direction to kind of find that harmony again that you were just talking about. So yeah, I think that's a lot of tools that people can hopefully also use for themselves. And I always like to mention that And I think you also just said it with the movement, you know, there's like sometimes things that we kind of think are good for us, or we want them to be good for us, because that's what we see in like magazines and advertisements and whatever. For example, the fitness industry, you know, there are a lot of things where people tell you this is what you need to do to lose weight or to become fit or whatever. But if it's something that creates more stress in your body, it's not going to help you to lose that weight or to achieve these results. So I think it's always more important to ask yourself, what can bring me out of stress response right now, if you're feeling overwhelmed anyway. So if you're if you're having like heavy emotions coming up or whatever, to really like regulate your nervous system. And sometimes that is, yeah, like it is better if you choose that maybe yin yoga practice or just that little walk instead of like super heavy workout session or whatever. But in the end, it's really about learning to listen to your body and like your true needs again. Thank you so much for sharing all these insights into like your work and into what it is, what you're doing with your clients. How can people find you? Like, if they want to learn more about you now, or also about the retreats that you're doing, like, what are you currently offering or offering in the future? Share a little bit about that.
Thank you. So I am most active on LinkedIn, Crystal Carnahan. Just Crystal Carnahan on LinkedIn. And I am hosting a retreat in Seychelles in February of 2024. That's kind of the next baby that I'm birthing. So that is super exciting, a very special retreat. I have all the information, brochures and all of that I can send. And I do one-on-one coaching. So I really enjoy the personal and bespoke touch, where a group, you can get the support, but sometimes with what I do, a lot of people need that first like 3 to 6 months to actually work through all of that stuff before they have a large group that they feel comfortable and safe really expressing some of those, you know, those emotions in. So my one-on-one coaching, I'm working on my website. It is zenfullyaware.com. It is under construction, but crystal@zenfullyaware.com is my email. And I have every form of social media and pretty much every way besides a homing pigeon to get in touch with me. So but again, I'm most active on LinkedIn and can always get in touch with me on there.
I will definitely link all the things that you mentioned in the podcast description. So just check that out. And I think if you want to learn more about the work of a coach, you know, it's always the easiest to just get in touch with them, like send a message. I always say, like, we don't mind, yeah, and we're also not selling you something that you don't want or need. Just ask, like, feel free to reach out to us. Also, if after the episode today you want to share like any insights. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest, for sharing your story and your knowledge with us. I think a lot of people could take away a lot from this episode today. And any last words you want to share? Anything you want to mention that we haven't mentioned in this episode that is super important for you, just to wrap it up?
Oh my gosh. No, I think we covered a lot. And again, I'm very grateful for you inviting me on the podcast and really spreading all the goodness into the world. And anybody has any questions, please reach out.